Okay, I'm not mistaken. Where it says pay kuf nun dalet. Okay, on the top of the top it says kuf nun dalet. It's in Bogan Dibba Basra, two lines from the bottom. Or really three lines from the bottom. Amr mi shaloi ra bin hurdis loy ra bin dam yamaf. Okay? Kuf nun dalet, pays kuf nun dalet. Me, a person that did not see, me shloi ra binyan, a person did not see the Beis HaMikdash, the bayis that was built by Hordis. Hordis was the king. He was a slave. We learned last week, when we started this, Hordis was a slave. Hordis will live during the towards the end of the bayis sheni. We know that the bayis sheni, the malchus, belongs to Yehuda. And the time of Hanukkah, which was in the middle of the time of the bayis sheni, the malchus was taken over by Shevet Levi. The Chashmonoim, the Kohanim, they assume both roles, the role of Kohen Gadol and the role of Melech. They became the kings as well, even though that was Shloik HaLacha, because the king can only come from Shevet Yehuda. A king has to be a descendant of David HaMelech, but being that there was no one that was suitable from the family of David HaMelech to be the king, the Rabbanon allowed temporarily a member of Shevet Levi, the Kohanim, to also assume leadership roles to serve as the Melech. But it was only a Horah Shah, was only for a short period of time. That was the time of the Hanukkah miracle. And they had the duty to restore, to allow the children of David to once again become the kings. They did not do so. As a consequence, there was a rebellion, and it all happened in Hashemayim, that the slave Hordis, who was a goy, he was a slave, an Eved Kanani, he rose up and he wiped out, he made a coup and he wiped out the entire family. He wiped out all of the Kohanim and there was no one left in the family of the Chashmonoim. There was only one that was left with this Hordis. He preserved one of the children and he made believe that he was married to her, which gives him legitimacy. And he went and he was afraid that the Rabbanon would prevent him from being Melech. So he killed all of the Rabbanon, he killed the entire Sanhedrin, and he only left over one member of the Sanhedrin, who was Baba ben Buta. Baba ben Buta blinded, and then at a later point in his life, we learned last time, he did teshuvah, and he asked Baba ben Buta, what should he do to be mechaper for his chatoim, for killing out the Rabbanon, for killing out the Chashmonoim? And Baba ben Buta said, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the light of the world. If you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, maybe it will be some form of atonement for your terrible sins. So that's what he did. He went and he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. And it says here, Amru, mi shaloi ra'ah binyan hurdis loi ra'ah binyan noa miyamav. What we have about the Bayis Sheni, it all comes from Hurdis. It's very little known to us what the Beis HaMikdash looked like before the time of Hurdis, the first 300 years, maybe even more, the first 350 years. It wasn't a long time, the Binyan Hurdis. We don't really know whether we have very little. The Bayis Rishon, we have almost nothing. Very, very little historical information. Everything we know is from Tanakh. But we don't have anything, you know, any records, any writings, any archaeological finds. There's almost nothing. You'll maybe find a coin here or there, but come on, nothing. And even the Bayis Sheni, there's almost nothing. There's almost nothing the Bayis Sheni before the time of Hordis, which is only the last, I don't know, 70 years, something like that. It wasn't a very long time. Only the last, the tail end of the Bayis Sheni, when he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, and this is what we're referring to. When you go in Eretz Yisrael and they think you're on the tours, it's all about Hordis, Hordis, Hordis. They don't mention one word. On all the tour guides, you won't hear one word about the Beis HaMikdash before Hordis. Why? Because they don't know what it was like. There's no records. Because it was a total transformation at that point in time, and we only have what he constructed. And Chazal here comment, Amru, mi, shaloi, ra'ah, binyan Hordis, loi, ra'ah, binyan nohem, miyamav. You don't know what beauty looks like. You never saw something beautiful in your lifetime. I wonder, would Chazal say that today? What would Chazal say today, all over the world, the magnificent structures in Binyanim? So when Chazal said beauty, what does beauty really mean? Does it mean architecture? Does it mean there was chokhmah in design? L'chayra, it doesn't just mean physical beauty. If you'll say physical beauty, maybe today you can say there are structures today that are more magnificent. I don't know, maybe not. We don't know what it looked like. But maybe what it means, there's a certain sophistication. There was a certain art. There was a certain chokhmah in how it was constructed, which even today the greatest architects, the greatest minds, don't have that ability to, with all of the materials, all the technology available, don't have the ability to produce something as beautiful as what Hordis constructed in his day and age. You have to first define very precisely the words no'eh. Is it physical beauty, or is it the chokhmah, the wisdom that went into the construction of the Beis HaMikdash? Omar Rabba. Rabba says, in other words, b'may b'noyeh, how did he build the Beis HaMikdash? Omar Rabba. Rabba says, b'avnei shisha umar mira. Marble, stones of marble and marmara. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, what does this mean? Shisha means green, shisha means green, and marmara means white. You know, a couple of years ago, those were the in colors, white and green. Now, you know, everything goes very quickly. You know, styles change, right? That used to be a tkufa, green. Green came back in. Green was a big hot color in interior design, not that long ago, but it's long gone. But the Beis HaMikdash was designed with white and green marble. What's the mile of white and green marble? And also another color, Bavni Shisha Marmara. Some say Bavni Kuchla, blue. Okay, blue, kuchla means blue. What is the significance of shisha umarmiya? Blue, white, green, and white. What's the mile of these colors? I have no idea, but obviously these colors represent, they capture a certain, they capture something which is very symbolic. Then the Gemara says, apik shafa umayil shafa. The stones went in and out. They were not flush. The goal was the stone should, one stone should protrude more than the other stones. Kihechi delkabel sida, so that they can fortify the stones by putting cement in the part that was the gaps. By having the stones not lined up one on top of the other perfectly, but rather go in and go out, there's a gap, and in the gap you can put in some sid. Kihechi delkabel sida delkabel sid. Savar lemishe bidahava. He thought, maybe that they thought they should overlay the wall with gold. That's how wealthy he was. Amri, they said, Le Rabbanan, Shafke, leave it the way it is. The Hachi Shapir Tve, it's more beautiful. It's more beautiful to see the colors, the white, the green, the blue, to see how they go in and out. The Mechse, Ki Id Vosa Diyama, when you look at it from a distance, it looks like the waves of the sea. The waves of the sea, the Gale Hayam, itself is the ultimate yoifi. Does not need to have any gold overlay these bricks. And what is the mile of having the symbolism of having waves? I remember this when I was from a child already. I learned this in yeshiva, is that the Rabbanan at this point in time knew that in a very short time the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. Hordis was rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash last whatever it was 70 years. It was just a matter of time. Rome already was in control. Hordis, as we learned last time, had to ask permission from Rome. Can I build the Beis HaMikdash? Can I not build the Beis HaMikdash? Since when does Eretz Yisrael need permission from America to build settlements? Right? They had to ask permission. Nothing changed. They had to ask permission. We want to do renovations on the Beis HaMikdash. We're seeking your permission. They sent a message. And when they sent the message, they did it. And they sent back, Avda Bisha, we know what you're up to. We know if you didn't do it, we don't give you permission. And if you're already demolished, don't rebuild. And if you demolished and you rebuilt and you use this time to go ask permission as an excuse to do trickery, then don't worry, we'll get you. We'll get you next time. We have your record, we're putting you on notice, and you're going to be in trouble. So you see already that when this event took place, Eretz Yisrael was already under the control of Rome. And it was just a short amount of time until the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed and the Jews would go into exile. The Rabbanim were very well aware of this. Chacham is Roya Es HaNailat. Therefore, they wanted the walls to look like waves. Why waves? What is the mile of a wave? A wave, when it comes to the shore, knows that in a very short time it's going to crash in the most magnificent way. It's the waves are coming to the beach. They're roaring. What are you all worked up about? In another couple of feet, your massive wave is going to come crashing down on the seashore. It'll be nothing. It'll just disappear. So calm down. Don't get all worked up when you come to the end of the shore. That's not the nature. The wave says, Eino chinami. My wave is going to be, my koyach is going to be destroyed. because that's the way Hashem made it. Hashem established a boundary for the Yam. But till the very last drop, until the very last end, I am going to be, fulfill my tafkid with a lishma, with a koyach, with a taikif might, to the very, very last end. That is the nature of the Galei Hayam. The Rabbanim was sending a message to Klal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed in a couple of years. But that does not mean everyone should slacken off in their Avodah. Until it's destroyed, take advantage. Take advantage of the Beis HaMikdash with your full koyach, your full intensity. We shoyev the Kedusha that rests in this makam until the very, very last end. This is the symbolism of the Beis HaMikdash looking like waves now at this point in time when we're coming to the very, very end. Now there's also another idea I want to point out. This is just because I saw this yesterday. I was looking over the parasha. I saw a very interesting idea. I'm asking, maybe you can elaborate upon this, is that the Shira is written Ariach al Gabe Levena. Ariach Gabe Levena. So, okay, that's right. There's some type of construction. That's what I'm pointing over here is that the stones are being built, one in, one out. There are gaps. Why? So over here, it's in order they should put Sid. And this really is going off the topic. Totally off the topic. It's one interesting idea I came across. But just because the Shira is written, Ariach Gabe Levena, does not mean there has to be blank spaces. You can write the Shira. You know, the Shira in the world of Safros is a very big problem for Sefer, because you have to have a special order for that parchment. The parchment that you use to write the Shira, the Sirtut has to be, it's a much wider column, and the parchment has to be wider, so they have to do a special run just to make the cloth for the Shira. You buy the whole Sefer, it's all the same. The parchment, everything is standardized today. You have a piece of parchment, on a parchment they write whatever it is, five columns, and the parchment is this length, and they do the sirtut, it's done by hand, everything is set up to go.
And Amud is always the same in every Sefer Torah, it has to start with
Habayim. Oh, okay, that's where the word starts.
Right.
But the sirtut, the column is longer. When that piece of parchment, there are probably five columns,
right,
but the column that has the Shira is wider,
right,
significantly wider, which means the parchment has to be longer. Plus, when they do the Sirtut, they just can't do five columns. There's one, two, and then the one in the middle, they have to reorganize, they have to realign the tools they use to this, that it should be wider in order to accommodate the Shira. Why does there have to be so much such gaps? Why can't it be... Yes, they do it by yad. They do it by hand. They have a whole thing set up where they do it in one shot, but it's done by hand. You can't have a machine do the sirtut. It's puzzle. The sirtut is done by hand.
The sirtut means what?
They etch the lines.
Like
on the parchment, you'll notice there is something
so
etched as a guide to writing the letters of the Sefer Torah. If you don't have sirtut and tefillin, it's puzzle. And I'm mezuzah, mezuzah, mezuzah must have sirtut, it's puzzle. Tefillin and sefer, and until also, I'm not sure. Sefer Torah is only a minhag. I don't think it's not ma'akim. Sefer Torah, maybe only one line. Halacha l'maaseh, we do sirtut every single line, sides, and the sides also, the sirtut. But in any event, why does the Shira have to be written with so many blank spaces? You can do it, Ariach Gabe Levena, with just a teeny amount of space, and it'll look like a building. When you write a stomach column like this over here, you write this.
No, I have an idea. It could be close to quarters.
They're just a stream of letters. You want to make it look like a building? Okay, so we'll do it. We'll make it a Ariach al Gabe Levena, but doesn't mean there has to be so many gaps.
Right.
Why is that necessary? What's all about? The answer is, I saw this in the Sefer. I don't know if it's a Medrash or just someone saying on their own. I have no idea. I just saw it very quickly. When the Jewish people complained to Paro, when Moshe complained to Paro, what are you doing to my people? We want to go free. Paro said, you obviously have too much free time on your hands. If you have enough time to unionize and to make demands of me to go free, to go to eat, to go into the desert for 3 days, offer sacrifices, you got a problem over here. So you know what? I'm no longer going to tell my people to provide you with the raw materials. From now on, you go out into the fields and you will collect the straw. And the people were not able to do, they were not able, it was too much, they were not able to collect the straw and to fulfill the quota of bricks that was asked from them. They couldn't do it. So what happened? There were gaps in the building that improvised. There were blank spaces in the construction. And what did the Egyptians do in those blank spaces? We can't have a blank space in the pyramid. They took your, we'll take your body, we'll take your children. They took their children, they killed their children, they put the children in the space to serve as a brick. Because the people, the Jews, could not keep up with the demand, the requirements of producing the quota of bricks that was asked of them. The blank spaces in the Shira are merames on the bricks that they were not able to produce, and instead were filled with children. Again, the Shira does not meet, does not. And what does that tell you? It's a very, very powerful message that even though this is Shira, this is song, and every song in this world is always a mixture of tzar. There's no such thing in this world as a perfect Shira. There's always la'asilava, when Mashiach will come, oz nashir shir chadash. Chazal say that's a shir b'loshin zohar. Nekeva, when you have shir b'loshin nekeva, it always has a connotation of tsar. A nekeva has a leida, she gives birth to a child, she undergoes chevle tsar, chevle leida, but after she gives birth, there'll be a mirtz Hashem, another child, there'll be another baby, and there'll be more tsar. So in this world, when you look at the shira, what are you looking at? You're looking at unbelievable. We were successful. We succeeded. We overcame. We became. It was a geula. But you have to remember, the geula came with a price. We had shibud, and in the shibud there was a riach al gabe levena. We were slaves. We were in the construction business. We were building the pyramids. And the way you do construction is you build in a riach al gabe levena. Okay, not so bad. Let's have a parnasa. Problem was your blank spaces. Why are there blank spaces? Because the demands of our upon us were more than we could handle, and there were blank spaces. And those blank spaces included the children that were put into those holes. So when I say that, and I look at this Gemara, and it strikes me, when you look at the Gemara over here, it says that he built the Beis HaMikdash. Over here we're dealing with the time of Tsar. This was not a happy time. First of all, Hordis, who's building the Beis HaMikdash? Hordis. Hordis is not the Melech. He's a Goy. He has no place serving as the Melech. Hordis only rose to power because he wiped out the Kohanim HaKedoshim. He wiped them all out. Hordis wasn't enough to wipe out the Kohanim. He felt threatened by the Sanhedrin. He killed the Sanhedrin. So here, Bob and Boot is telling him, no, the best you can do is build the base. We build the base HaMikdash. Wonderful. Wow, what a magnificent Beis HaMikdash. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you go on the tunnel tours. They're going to show you the beautiful, beautiful binyan of Hordis, unbelievable, magnificent, and the stones, how it's etched, everything, v'chulu, v'chulu. At what price? At what price?
Yeah.
The Kohanim were wiped out, the Sanhedrin was wiped out. The government, Rome, said to them, don't you dare build this Beis HaMikdash, and if you build this Beis HaMikdash, we're putting you on notice. We're coming for you. We're going to get you. So what's the gedula? Building the Beis HaMikdash. What's the big gedula? Building the Beis HaMikdash. It's a wonderful thing, but the price that we paid was much, much more than what it was worth.
Filling a man who had blood on his hand.
Exactly, exactly. That's what I mean.
David HaMelech was not allowed to build.
David was not allowed to build because he had blood on his hands. And Hordis, who killed the Sanhedrin, killed the Chashnoim, was allowed to build it. And it was built at a time, he was a guy to begin with, he was a guy. And he took over the Malchus, he has no business being Melech. And the government told him, don't do it. It's illegal what you're doing, and we're going to come for you. We're going to come for you. So it's a Pella, at what price? So therefore, when I think about that, and it says here in the Gemara, how did they build it? They built with Avna Shisha Umar Miyah, Apik Sofa Umeayil Sofa. It went in one row, went out. There were gaps. There were gaps. Why were there gaps? In order that you can put some cement in the inside. It reminds me of the Vart that I just told you about the Shira. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were zeichet to sing Shira. Fantastic. At what price? At what price did they sing Shira? There was a price to pay for singing Shira. There was Shibut. There was there was avodas perach. They were slaves. They built the pyramids. Did they build? Was it the pyramids? We don't even know. We don't know if that's true.
They built the pyramids. In the time frame, they said they built certain temples,
but not the pyramids. Not the pyramids.
They didn't build any pyramids.
It doesn't make sense, right? But whatever they built, they built. There was Ariach al Gabi Levena. There was a price to pay, but it was Ariach Gabi Levena. Why there gaps? Why there gaps? Teretz is even in the Ariach Gabi Levena, we were unable to do what was required of us, and that cost them their lives. That they paid with their lives because of the gaps. Those gaps cost dearly. So yet we sing Shira. Why do we sing Shira? Because there was a salvation, but the salvation came with the price. There's no such thing in this world as perfect joy. Perfect joy only comes at the time of Mashiach. I saw here an unbelievable vart. It's going to happen, and it could be really far as what it says by Daniel, but I'll tell it to you now. Is we say this every all the time. La Yehudim Haisa Oira Simcha V'Sasan V'Kar Kein Tielan. That's what he said. Kein Tielan. What does it mean? Oira Zutaira Simcha Zuyamtif Sasan Zunila and Yikar Elu Hatzfilin. So there are four different expressions of joy, and Chazal interpret this in reference to four different mitzvahs: Mila, Yamtif, Tfilin, and Torah. I saw in the back of the Masifta, I think it was the back of the Masifta, it's against the next Gemara, but it ties into the Gemara, but it applies here to what we're saying as well as now, and it applies to what we're saying now as well. Yikar is also used in Tanakh as a reference for Tsar. Yokar be'enei Hashem Hamovsa lachasidav. The time of Purim, was it a happy time or was it a sad time? So you look at me like I'm crazy. Of course it was a happy time. Not necessarily. It was a time of Tsar. Esther, a Yiddisha Beis Yaakov girl, was abducted by a Shegetz. Okay, she was a Beis Yaakov girl, Esther, no? Which one? Shalanas. Maybe when Shalanas. She was Brooklyn. Beis Yaakov, the mayor. Everyone says she was Yirakak. Everyone says she was one of us. All of the girls' schools says she came. She studied by us. She went to BYA. She went to Prospect Park. She went to the Suras. Right. Everyone says she was one of us.
She didn't go to Chassidus Yeshiva.
How do you know?
Because she was so old and not married.
So Esther, it wasn't necessarily a good thing. It wasn't a good example. What kind of role model is it for Esther Hamalka, a Beis Yaakov girl, to serve as the queen by the mouth? That's not a model for Klal Yisrael. That's not a model. It don't have a choice. This is the hashkocha. This is the way Hashem made it. But it's not hashkocha pratis. This is the way Hashem made it. But is this the ideal? Is this something that is something that everyone should aspire to? It's a problem. The bigger problem was what happened to Doniel during this entire period. Chazal, according to one interpretation, Doniel Ish Hamudos was assassinated. He was assassinated by Haman. Haman saw that Daniel was ferrying messages between Mordechai and Esther. Vayavo Hasoch, he was cut down. There are different interpretations of the Gemara, but according to one, he was killed. He was actually killed. The price that we paid for the miracle of Purim was the death, was the loss of Daniel. The collateral damage was Daniel Ish Hamudos. So it was a wonderful, and also let's today we have new terms. It was post-traumatic stress disorder. There's no question about it. There were nightmares. There was a gzera lahashmid laharogu laabenetz kol ha'yehudim minar v'yad zaken. What are you going to tell me that when Purim finally happened and they were spared and everyone was celebrating, people did not suffer psychologically from the horror, from the terror of what was supposed to come to them? What? So just because he got away scot-free, people Rahman al-Tzlan, who they get away, they Hashem gives them a second chance, and they escape death by the skin of their skin of their teeth. What, you don't tell me stories all over? You have over here in the news today, you hear stories about people who suffer from psychological disorders because of the horrors of what almost happened to them. The whole Klal Yisrael was laid for Churban. So it was a wonderful event. There's no question about it. La'yehudim oyso oyra v'simcha v'sasim v'yikar is a time of great simcha, and we celebrate anayom hazeh, and it's a yom tov v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. But you have to realize Esther is not in a good place. Mordechai lost his wife. He lost his wife, Mordechai. This was his wife. He lost his wife. She's not a role model for Klal Yisrael. It's a problem. Daniel was assassinated. People are suffering psychologically. It's not a pure simcha. That's what it means in the pasuk. La Yehudim hoitza oira. There was lisp shuta shomikah. There was oira lichtekant. Simcha oira simcha v'sasa. There was simcha and sasa. But there was also vikar. Yokar be'enei Hashem hamavso lachasida. It was three parts simcha, one part tzar. The roiv is simcha. Go bust a roiv. You go bust a roiv, you celebrate. But don't lose sight of the fact that it was also a degree of tzar. And that is the way of the world. There's no such thing. Bizman hazeh, pure as pure tzar. I told you this many times. In Tebi. Okay, so what was it called? The miracle in Tebi. So, yeah, right. So when I was a baby when that happened.
Right.
And I wasn't even. But I remember the after effect, the celebration, the movies. I remember my mother once took me with Tzoy Shabbos on the Lower East Side. Hey, Dr. Fruchter, it's hard to talk with her. On the Lower East Side, I remember my mother. She took me to. She took me with Tzoy Shabbos to watch the movie in the edges. On the edge of the Educational Alliance, the whole Lower East Side turned out. There was a living creature on the Lower East Side that did not come and say Shabbos to see the film to watch Entebbe. It was such a sensation. This is already many years later. What?
It surely was.
And then all these people that songs, I only learned about later on. So a couple of years ago, I don't know why, this was the 40th anniversary, I think it was, this past year, they had the middle of time. So a couple of years ago, I don't know why, I just got curious, I went online, I went to YouTube, and I watched two documentaries. Each one was about 45 minutes on YouTube, very carefully, I spent time watching it, and I learned that the movie was basically a big Baba Maisa. The movie was basically, you know, they totally exaggerated everything, and in this documentary, at least what I saw, they really showed the tsar, they showed the tragedies that continue on from what happened. People, you know, the general, the one who led the mission, Netanyahu's brother, he was killed. Because besides that, there was some other, so the soldier was a paraplegic. There was another soldier that was killed. There was some of the hostages that were killed. It showed, you know, the whole world was celebrating.
I worked with a guy who was one of the soldiers in the raid.
Yeah.
I mean, I could never believe it when you look at
him.
Short, rolling guy, but they said, don't make the mistake. He was one of the guys.
So what did he say? What did he say?
He said it was touch and go. I mean, they were very lucky.
They were very lucky. But after everything said and done, there were a lot of people who suffered. Who suffered and continue to suffer from what happened. So it's wonderful. The roiv is Baruch Hashem. If it was not done, who knows what would have been? They could all have been killed. Who knows what would have been? So obviously the roiv is the roiv. They survived. But don't you're not going to tell me the people there who survived didn't have nightmares the rest of their lives?
Of course.
The rest of their lives. Okay, so it's a celebration. It's glorified in motion. In films, great accomplishment. No one's coming chasham to deny. Give a shevach v'hayda. You make a bracha. She'asla nisim avakayim. You can make a bracha. You go and you can say she'asla nisim avakayim hazeh. But you can't take away from the fact that there's a lot of tzar. Like Yehudim ha'isa oira v'simcha v'sasam. No one's denying. But you have to also remember vikar. Yakar be'enei Hashem hamotza lachasidav.
Does anyone ever think, let's say, saying a keeping the yard side, all the people who died in
Mitzrayim and Choshech? In Choshech, the day when they died, when did they die? They died in Purim. You know when they died? You're saying very good. They died on Purim.
Rabbi Bell says they died right before. That's Shabbos HaGadol is in between the Choshech.
It's Machlokes. Some say each Makkah took place during the month.
Yud Aleph, Yud Bei, Yud
Gimel. Barad is on Tu B'Shvat, which means that Choshech took place on Purim. Tezvav, which is in Yerushalayim, the Yaros Hamukaf is Chayma, Choshech Purim, or what we call Shushan Purim in America, is the yard site of Choshech, of when they died. So for everyone in Yerushalayim, they're celebrating. They're celebrating on the car. Yakar be'enei Hashem hamav selachasidav. Okay, so everything in this world until the time of Mashiach is not pure joy. There's always a mixture of tzar. And over here, I'm alluding to that over here with the fact that the walls went in and out. When in and out reminds us of the shear which goes in and out. There are gaps. Those gaps represent tzar. Represent the tzar of what they were not able to accomplish and they were replaced with their own children. Okay, let's go one more line of Gemara. Ubabin Buta Hechi Avad Hachi. How was he allowed to demolish the Beis HaMikdash? Where Halacha V'Amar Rav Yehuda Marav V'Yitem Rav Yishub Ben Levi Mimnei Ma'anenesh Daniel Mimnei Shehisi Eitzel L'Nevuchanetzah. Why was Bav Ben Buta permitted to advise Hordis to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? You're not allowed to give good advice to a non-Jew, to give him a Zechus. And the proof is Daniel gave a good advice to Nevuchanetzah that he should support the poor. He should institute welfare. The first one to institute a program of welfare was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a Democrat. He instituted all the programs. All of the good things that we enjoy in this world are all from Democrats. Social Security, welfare, people who are Rahman al-Sanah, all people who are well off. Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, all the benefits, people who need it, welfare, all the programs were all established by Democrats, not by Republicans. So why would someone want to vote for a Republican? I don't know.
But without the jobs that Republicans
okay. So it has to be some type of balance. You have to alternate. So over here, the Gemara's question: How was Daniel allowed to advise? Why was Daniel punished? Vayavo hasoch. Daniel was punished. He was demoted in government. Why? Because he gave Nebuchadnezzar good advice. He told him to support the poor. By supporting the poor, you're giving him a zechus. Hashem does not want to give zechusim to rishoyim. V'item yishu v'levi b'bnei ma'nesh Daniel b'bnei she'isi eitzel Nebuchadnezzar. The Simson of the Pasek, Lohein Malka, therefore king, milki, my words, yishbar olaych, may they be pleasing to you, v'chatoyoch, your sins, the sins of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, Bitstaka Firuk, may you redeem the Va'avayosach B'meichan Anoya, and your Avoinos, by being gracious to the poor, you'll redeem your sins of being gracious to the poor. Hein Tehavei Archa Lish Lev Soch, so there should be length to your Malchus. You will live long if you will do Teshuvah, and the way you do Teshuvah is by giving Tzedakah. Uchsiv says, Lepasich Kula Mito Al Nevuchad Netzar, Malka, all of this was accepted. It sunk in to his head. He accepted it. Uchsiv, it says, V'liktsas yarchin toyosar, and it says that his churban, his punishment, was delayed by 12 months. So it says, so how was he allowed to do this? Okay, so the Gemara is going to go explain more how we know that Daniel was punished. But the Gemara here is telling us that Daniel, he gave advice to Nebuchadnezzar, and the Gemara will later on say that Daniel was punished, and he will quote the whole story. What was the advice he gave to Nebuchadnezzar? He should give tzedakah, and that way his sins will be redeemed. So the Gemara says, here's the answer. The answer is because Hordis was an Evet, and an Evet Kenani is chayiv in mitzvahs ki'isha. Unlike Nebuchadnezzar, who is a Goy. The answer is Iba Yisema Shone Avda the Chayab Mitzvahs. Viba Yisema Shone Beis HaMikdash the Eloi Malchus Lo Mispinei. If not for the Malchus, it could not possibly be able to Hayru Asha. When it comes to a private person, Tzedakah, then other people could give the Tzedakah and fill in for Nebuchadnezzar. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, you need government. Need the Malchus to support to build the Beis HaMikdash. With the Niel Minolon Di Anash, how do we know that he was punished? Ilay Meshulam Sim the Pasuk Vatigay Sela Hasoch. He was called Hasoch. The Amirav Hasoch Zed Niel Hanichol Leman Di Amar Shechatachu Migdulasa. If he was Nechatam Mitzvah down, he was punished. Ella Leman Di Amar Shekol Divrei Malchus Nechtochin Al Pibri Vulnu Hasoch means a Maila that he was sheet of staff. So it's a Maila. So Michael Neymar. So the answer is the fact that he was thrown into a den of lions. Sheshlichuhu l'guv arayos. he was thrown into a den of lions. That's where we find that, that he was punished for giving good advice to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll take a short break, and then we will discuss Tu B'Shvat.